We have a very special show planned for you today. We have the Wagon Connects, missionary Nate and his lovely wife Julie joining us for a Christmas interview as they talk about technology and foreign mission fields. All that and more coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. We're glad to have you back, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is the Wells Tech Podcast, episode 215 for December 21st, 2011. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Merry Christmas to Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you.
The days are winding down, and the big celebrations are on the horizon, So exciting time of year.
You have any plans? Are you staying right there in comfortable sleepy eye?
That's right. We are enjoying sleepy eye this Christmas. We have some special visitors coming to us, or at least passing through on their way to Wisconsin. So we're looking forward to having some company this weekend and just a quiet time at home after that. Anticipated, especially all those wonderful special services, the children's Christmas Eve and the candlelight and all those kind of things. It's always really fun.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we're not much going on in the Spriggs household either. Just the typical Christmas Eve, Christmas Day stuff, not going anywhere. Maybe the excitement will be meeting my son's girlfriend for the first time. She's going to be here for a day in the holidays, so that's always nerve-wracking. I'm sure more for her than for us. But
I can't imagine that's a tough family to meet, though.
It is.
It'll probably be a good time.
Despite what my kids say of us. The show today is very simple, very clean, and very traditional. If we have a tradition after now 4 years of podcasts, we've taken this week of Christmas or around the Christmas season to skinny down the show a little bit and just have a special interview. And, you know, sometimes we've had President of the Synod, we've had Rich Gergel up at the seminary talking about their online or distance learning programs up there. We are going south for our interview this Christmas and thought we would spend a little time talking to Pastor Nate Wagon Connect and his lovely wife Julie, who serve in Mexico, but they have experiences from all across the globe, and they have opportunities to share the love of Christ in different languages and different locations that some of us will never get to. So it was a good opportunity to speak with them about Christmas and about celebrating Jesus in different countries and how they do that.
And how they use technology to enhance all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, both of them are, I would call, tech savvy. And that makes it all the more interesting to us, obviously, for this show. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the sites they maintain and their approaches using technology. But it's a good listen, and let's take a listen to our interview with Nate and Julie Wagon Connect. We're very pleased to have joining us on the show this week, on this Christmas show, Pastor Nate Wagon Connect and his beautiful wife, Julie, from León, Mexico. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Or Feliz Navidad, or what is the appropriate Christmas greeting in Mexico?
You've got it. Okay. Feliz Navidad. Okay. In Spanish, or Feliz Natal in Portuguese.
Gotcha, yes. And you have many responsibilities, which we're going to talk through in a minute. One of the reasons that we thought it would be great to have you guys on the show for Christmas is you are world travelers. You minister to lots of different people, Julie, in your travels as well. And Obviously, our show is technology focused and wanted to kind of talk to you about how you use technology to spread that news of the Christ child. So maybe before we jump into some of those things, you can maybe both introduce yourselves, where you're living, what you're doing, where you've been, hobbies, those kinds of things. Just give us a little bit of a bio for both of you, if you would.
Sure. Just a real quick summary. I graduated from the seminary in 2000 and was assigned as a missionary to the Caribbean, working in Spanish. So I've been working in Spanish my whole ministry so far. And in 2003 was assigned to the LATE team. LATE, for those who don't know, stands for Latin American Traveling Theological Educators. And basically, it's a nice name for a mobile seminary faculty that serves the different fields in Latin America. Mm-hmm. Been traveling to and serving in Mexico, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. And I also serve as the friendly counselor to Brazil. So that's where the Portuguese comes into play.
Okay. And did you know Spanish or Portuguese when you first started?
I was assigned as a vicar to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So that's where my Spanish started.
Okay.
And then Portuguese didn't come until a few years later, in about 2003, 2004.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for those people not familiar with the geography of Mexico, where do you live?
The city of León is almost smack dab in the middle of the country. When you go north, south, looking on a map, north, south, east, west. So we're maybe 5 or 6 hours northwest of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Julie, how about you?
Well, I graduated with a communication degree. And started out working in sales and marketing, including public relations in the Minneapolis area. And I found out about Wells Kingdom Workers and how to volunteer in World Mission Fields, and was off to Japan to teach English as a foreign language and to work with one of our sister churches in the city of Ashikaga for a year. Then still had, I guess, the bug to serve, and headed over to Blantyre, Malawi in Africa, and served in working in the Christian Reading and Learning Center. And after 2 years, I headed back to Wisconsin and started the World Missions Promotion Center to promote the work of the Wells World Missions of the 23 countries at that time. And, of course, that's where my path crossed. Our paths crossed, I guess, with the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I guess at that point I missed being back in the trenches. So I volunteered again with Kingdom Workers to serve as an English as a foreign language teacher and assist the mission in Santiago, Dominican Republic. And that is where I met my husband, Nathan, where he was my boss. So now I am a missionary wife living in Latin America.
Uh-huh. And now you are the boss.
Things change.
Depends who you talk to.
Very good. What do you guys like to do for fun?
I enjoy playing tennis when I can find some time to do that. And, of course, going on walks occasionally with Julie. Mm-hmm. And reading the occasional book, it's hard to find some time just to sit down and read a good novel, but when I can find that time, it's fun.
Sure.
And I'm very active in our neighborhood. We have kind of a clubhouse where we have regular Zumba classes, which is kind of a Latin exercise dance class. Uh-huh. And I've recently started a boxing class, which is quite vigorous.
Okay. Interesting. Well, that's kind of a nice leading, because one of your hobbies, technology, because I know both of you were involved and you both have very good use for technology in your field. So that's really what we wanted to talk to you about. So tell us maybe a little bit about your use of technology in your kind of in your day-to-day work and your day-to-day life. And it may not be too similar or could be very similar in some cases to the way we use it here in the States, but you probably have both perspectives now. So maybe share a little bit how you use technology.
It's kind of interesting the way it developed. I don't think we planned it this way, but it kind of turned into Julie became our contact person for our family and friends back in the States. And then I get to do the work with the students, the seminary students that we're teaching and the national churches we have contact with in Latin America. So my technology heads into Latin America with seminary courses and teaching. And Julie's kind of heads back to the States working with keeping contact and promotions.
Very good. And what about your students? Do they use technology? Do they have computers at their disposal? Are you using technology to carry out these Latin American courses at a distance? Or how does that all work for your students?
One of the challenges, I guess you could say, is that with Latin America, you have such a wide spectrum of technology available and where the individual countries have resources. In some of the countries where we're working, our students do not have access to the internet. They don't even have personal computers. So with many of our students, we're still with, you know, book and pencil and meeting face-to-face with them to go over the courses. And then you get the far other side of the spectrum where everyone, almost like in the States, people have internet in their homes or at least easy access to internet somewhere and are very up-to-date with the different cell phone with internet access, and so we really cover the wide spectrum. The technology that we are working with for teaching our courses, we do use Skype pretty often just to teach some of our students. For example, I meet 5 days a week with one of our students in Puerto Rico, and we just sit on Skype for 2 hours and go through the course. And then some of the other professors are developing their courses for Moodle. For people not familiar with Moodle, Moodle is a software that kind of helps you manage your course presentation so that the students can log in when they're available and participate in chats and read the material. You're not teaching face-to-face, but everyone's using the same material and reacting to each other more through discussion boards.
Is it normal?
So we're developing a number of courses for that procedure also.
Is it usually, Nate, a one-to-one experience when you're using Skype, or do you ever have groups of people collected either on one end or the other where you're bringing in more than just a one-to-one?
Right now, I would say the majority of our classes are one-on-one, mm-hmm. but I know this starting in January, we're having some new students will be available and starting their courses, and we'll probably have groups of two or three at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we've done also is as we're teaching a course live in the classroom, another student from another country will be listening in on Skype at the same time.
Wow. Very cool. What about the tools that they use? Do they have like logos for Bible study or anything comparable to that? Or are they pretty much using books for their studies and then you're just using technology for the conversation?
I do know that Lugus has a Spanish capability, or it's available in Spanish, mm-hmm. But unfortunately, at the moment, the price, it makes it a little bit difficult for our students to own their own personal copies.
Sure.
So I would say the majority of our students are still using the traditional book and paper, and we're using the technology more just to reach them without being, since we aren't able to always travel to them personally.
Makes sense.
The use of technology, Nate and Julie, has probably, you know, been a blessing and a curse, I suppose, because when it works well, it is certainly something that could be used to do your work, but also a frustration when it doesn't work so well. And I'm assuming that it varies depending on where you're going and who you're talking to, what options you have at your disposal. You recently went down to South America and spent some time in Brazil and other places. Do you see that there are some areas that are going to be more challenging for you to do your work than others because of that?
Like it again kind of depends on the country and where they are in the infrastructure,
right?
The technology infrastructure. On our recent trip to Brazil this last fall, Brazil is quite advanced, and so we had internet access pretty much wherever we were.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was able to continue my classes with the student in Puerto Rico while traveling in Brazil.
Great.
So that worked out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think your middle name probably is Flexible, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
We certainly try to be.
Where have you had challenges? And Julie, you've been to some remote locations too, I assume, where technology is not prevalent, not available, or very inconsistent, even electricity.
Yeah, I guess I'd go back a couple years, maybe more than a couple years. I can remember when I arrived in Japan, email was just really new to many people, and I was able to keep in touch with my parents because I set up an account for them, but most people at that time didn't, you know, have email, so it was still being contacted by handwritten or typed letters. Then a year later, I think it was about 2000, when I arrived in Malawi, I was in a big city where the internet was available. Internet cafes were starting to open. And we still only used it really, the internet, for email, not really surfing the net, because we were charged by the ISP and the telephone company per minute.
Okay.
But then at that time, PalTalk came into play, which was similar to Skype. So I can remember those days when we had internet, when we had electricity, the phone line wasn't underwater. And the ISP company was working. But now it's this night and day difference. We are tremendously blessed where we have unlimited access to the internet for an economical monthly fee. And then we're able to use Skype. And we do use the video feature, which kind of makes it more of a personal face-to-face visit. And we're also able to use a Vonage number, which gives us telephone access through the internet, and we have a Texas stateside number. So depending on where you're calling from in the States, it could be only a local or long distance call, and that truly has been a blessing for us to be here in Mexico.
Right.
Not all of our family is quite up with Skype and comfortable with all the different things, so it's still nice to have that telephone resource available too.
Right.
And sometimes it's just nice to have hold a telephone in your hand while you're talking with family.
Right. Well, with the distances down there and as you educate the students in the program, I'm assuming technology will continue to be a part of their ministry long past the educational time they're spending with Latte, social networks and the like. Is that kind of how you see them moving into their ministry, still making use of this distance technology?
It's great to see a lot of that happening already. Many of our pastors and students are already using the social networks like Facebook and Twitter to make contacts just even in their local cities. I know of a congregation in the city of Monterrey sent out a message on Twitter, and as you know, it goes out beyond just the initial contact people. I think they said they had 7 brand new visitors come into their Ash Wednesday service last year just from a Twitter invite.
Wow.
And so, yeah, the national pastors and congregations are starting to use those resources also.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a very different channel that the Lord has provided over and against, you know, maybe what you were taught in the seminary. Certainly when I was there, there was no hint of these kinds of opportunities through social networks or even email, really, at that point where you kind of have to think of these things almost first in some cases, where you have opportunities to connect with and build relationships, as opposed to the cold calling, you know, knock on door, canvas the neighborhood approach too, which is maybe still valid, but there are certainly some benefits and some advantages to being able to use some of these tools.
Another quick example of that is one of the pastors in Colombia, together with, I believe, Pastor Gonzalo Delgadillo in El Paso, through contacts that they've made through Skype, etc., they offer weekly services in Spanish over Skype for members that do not live close to, do not have a local congregation. And it's really become an international church. They have people logging in from Spain and France and I believe over in Asia and just all around different countries, like their Spanish speakers who don't have local Spanish congregations that are participating in worship over Skype.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Julie, maybe we could take just a moment to talk a little bit about the blogs that you do. I understand you're the communication person to keep us connected back here in the United States, and I think there's a couple of blogs maybe that you want to share with us that you are a part of that help keep that connection up to date.
Sure. I guess we started our family blog, which is the Wagon Connects at WordPress.com, when my email account would not let me send out a mass email anymore. So I knew we were going to be living overseas and more on a permanent basis, and we needed a way to get the message out to our family and friends. And it's really been a great tool. People can come and read it at their convenience, and we're not bogging down their inbox, but they're also able to subscribe to it and put it in their email box if they like to. And this has been a true blessing for all of our supporters in the States, including a lot of the LWMS groups, to be able to get them fresh information that they can share at their rallies. And we try to update our blog about twice a week. And I guess about a year ago, I started administering the ministry blog, which is the latteontheroad.blogspot.com. And that blog originally started in 2007, but to mainly promote the work of Latte, took a little hiatus for about a year. And with the approval of the Latte team, I restarted it. And I write some posts for that, but mainly I request and organize the information from Latte professors and a lot of the students. And one of the goals for this upcoming year is to get a lot more interview time and life story experience from the Latte students on that blog.
And those are great blogs, and one of the neat things about a blog versus, let's say, an email or whatever, even a newsletter, is that you have a journal, you have a history of your work, and it's easy for somebody to go back in time and trace the steps of the ministry there or of your life even as you look back on it, and just kind of a neat way to reflect on God's grace to your family and to your ministry.
Definitely. What about the future, guys? What role will technology play in your future endeavors there in Mexico?
One of the blessings I'm finding is trying to develop a few more courses for online delivery is finding different resources that are already online. I teach Greek and Galatians, and so one of the challenges for me is doing that as a native English speaker, trying to teach Greek to native Spanish speakers. And I've been able to find a few websites that offer audio files of the Greek read by native Greek speakers. So it's just a joy to see different resources available over the internet that I can use in some of those classes in the future.
Awesome.
Well, Nate and Julie, we've taken enough of your time. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to chat with us, and we certainly wish you the Lord's richest blessings as you continue His work south of the border, so to speak, and we pray that you have a very blessed Christmas.
Thank you both, and Merry Christmas to all of the listeners on Wells Tech. It's a joy to thank you guys for your service and what you do also, and a joy in celebrating the Lord's birth.
Very good. Thank you, Nate and Julie, once again.
Feliz Navidad.
Our thanks again to Nate and Julie. Have a blessed Christmas, you two. Very good to talk with you. They mentioned a couple sites that we will include in the show notes, Sally.
That's right. Julie works on both the Latte blog, managing that, as well as their personal family blog, The Wagon Connects. And we'll have links to both of those in the show notes. I'm a subscriber to both of them. They come up in my RSS reader all the time, and I just love to follow all the exciting things that that they're involved in down in Mexico and across Latin America.
And good writing, too. I mean, she takes care, or they take care in what they put there. And for me, it's exciting to read about mission work in foreign mission fields, because it's not something I have any experience with. And it's great to see that we are able, through our mission dollars and our support through technology and such, are able to spread the gospel beyond just our 50 states.
Yes, very exciting work. And Christmas blessings to the Wagon Connects. Hopefully they're listening to our podcast today, and we send them our very best.
Very good. That is about it for the show next week. So this would be the week between Christmas and New Year's. We have another Wells Tech tradition that we'll be faithful to. And that is a review of our picks of the year for 2011. We look back and we pick our top three picks, ones that we felt really were strong and useful in our work, in our ministries. And then we also take kind of the bottom three, and we've varied that a little bit. They're not the worst picks anymore, but picks that we didn't – how did we put it, Sally?
Fully adopt.
We didn't
not
fully
adopted.
Adopt. Not adopted. Right. A little softer.
There you go.
And that's true, that maybe we thought that they would be more useful than they were, but didn't get a chance to implement them. So tune in next week for that. And we've got some special music this week, Sally, to close the show.
We do. I think this is a Wells Tech first. The music is by Koine, and the song is O Little Town of Bethlehem. But the special treat is, if you surf over to our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, you get to watch a music video to go along with this song. And it's a really awesome video. I was excited to find this. One of my Facebook friends shared it. And just very well done, and I think you'll enjoy it. Koine's O Little Town of Bethlehem.
From their album, Anno Domini. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Tune in next week.
little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. you have.